My name is Brad Brooks, and I have the real privilege of being one of the shepherds here at Cheyenne Berean. I'm sorry, but I'm emotional right now. When I watch videos like that, there is just something deep within my core that excites me, challenges me. The reason I picked that video this week, because I hoped it would do the same for each one of you. I have the privilege this morning to kind of share a little bit about what's been going on the last 10 years with Cheyenne Berean. I have the honor of being a part of the missions team here. And we've taken trips it's been over 10 years now, to different countries. First it was Peru. A lot of you have attended and gone with us. Then it was Costa Rica, and now it's Colombia. And we've made a commitment to each one of those places for 5 years. This last year we took a trip to Colombia, and we're going to share a little more about that as the group comes up here in a minute. But I wanted to take time, and if you have the passage up, we're going to just go through why we do what we do. The passage out of Matthew 28, specifically verses 16 through 20, that really is the call of why we're doing what we're doing. I kind of look at this passage, if you're a coach and you're coaching a team and you're getting ready to play a game, what do they usually do before the game? They get together, they're pumped up. They're encouraging one another. They're laying out the game plan. And I really view that this is what Christ was doing with his disciples right here. He had an opportunity to meet up with him after his resurrection, something that he had already told them that he would do. And he told them this specific place that they would meet. And so when they meet here, he kind of lines them out. This is the game plan. This is their mission. This is what he wants them to be about. And not only the disciples of that time, or his disciples, but us as disciples today. This is a calling for us as well, and it's a command. This isn't optional. So let me just read this. I'm going to share and break into it a little more, and then I'm going to have the group come up, and we're going to kind of just share some stories and things that occurred this last year. I ask each member to kind of share a story that, or maybe something about an incident or an individual that really spoke to them regarding the mission trip. Then we're going to watch a follow-up video from Jeff Thompson, who is the director with E3 Partners in Colombia. Just a call to our church of being a participant in that ministry this next year. So let me read this, and if you want to follow along, I'm reading out of the NIV. Starting with verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" I don't know if that's how Christ did it at the end, but I felt like I needed to give that a little more force, because I really feel like that was his call to them at that time. It was a command. He was giving them all his full authority. And you know, you look at that in that verse, and it says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You know, you have to look at that. That is something that Christ was given by who? His Father. It was something that was handed down to him. Authority of all over the heavens and the earth. Folks, there isn't any more authority in this world than that. And that authority, God gives us as well to share. Share with those around us today. Share in those locations that he's going to send it to. You know, as a church here, we talk about the local, regional, and global. We make that a priority here in this church, and we want to make sure that we're ministering to all those areas. There's a lot of things locally you can do here. You know, whether it's something in the community, Awana, we got CEF. There's just lots of things. Shara and Steve going out and doing work on the street corners of Cheyenne, sharing the gospel. There's a lot of things that you can get involved in that are locally right here. Then there's the regional, and we participate in that. It's going to Maranatha, you know, maybe something else in the regional area that we've done as a group. And then it's the global. And what this church has been about the last few years is South America and Central America. That's where God's led us. And so I ask you, which of those areas are you participating in? And I want to encourage, everybody needs to be participating. You know, that video said it's not like something where you're saved and you come to know Christ and then you have to come to a certain point where you realize, okay, I've come to a certain maturity level and now I'm going to go out and serve Christ. That isn't how it works. What did he say on there? Those people never serve, okay? And when we do serve like that, when we feel like we're at a point where we've achieved something or we're ready to serve, you know what? We're doing that out of our own power. We're not doing that out of God's power. And God can only use us when we're relying on him. When we're weak, what? He's strong. So remember that. That's something God wants us to all be active in the ministry here that CBC is about. This is a command, again, it's to everyone. And then it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's a word in there that's really critical, that word go. You know, that's not a passive word. That's not where you sit back and relax. That's an active. That takes movement. You're not going to accomplish anything you want to accomplish if you don't move, if you don't go after it, if you don't pursue it. You know, I was thinking about a little story. I didn't tell him I was going to share this. You know, my son Nolan runs cross country. And when he runs cross country, they line up 50, 70, 80, sometimes 100 kids on a line. And they're all ready to go. And what do? They fire off a gun. And when they fire off the gun, those kids don't just stand at the finish line. They take off. It's mad chaos. That's what God wants to see out of each one of us. When he says go, that needs to be immediate. It isn't something we wait for. He had commanded us to do that a long time ago. And so I want to encourage each one of you. You're ready. You may not think you're equipped, but you're equipped. God has uniquely created each one of you for a specific purpose. And like we all are a parts of the body of Christ, we all need each other to operate and do it. And it applies here in the mission field and what he wants us to accomplish globally, locally, and regionally as well. It also says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You know, here at CBC, there's a lot of things that we kind of say. We talk about the wells and drinking from the wells, you know, the worshiping, evangelizing, learning, loving, serving. We also talk about gather, grow, and go, okay? We've seen that up here. You might notice that middle one, gather, grow, and go. Grow is teaching. I mean, that's where we come along each other and encourage one another in teaching biblical truths out of the Bible, being encouragement, holding each other accountable. That's what it takes, and he calls us to do that. And then he says, I have commanded you, and he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There's another passage, and I'm not going to go there, but it's in Deuteronomy 31 when Moses is talking to the people of Israel, too, about them fearing some of their enemies and people they're going up against. You know, God tells them, do not fear, because I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take them out. I'm going to provide for you. The same kind of ideas here. There is nothing, folks, that we need to worry about when we step out in faith, because God promises. This is a promise. To the very ends of the age. What's the ends of the age mean? Anybody want to guess what the end of the age means? What was that? When Christ comes back. That's right. Well, guess what? Christ hasn't come back yet. All right? That means one thing to me. That means his work isn't over. That means our work isn't over on fulfilling the Great Commission. And till we see Christ return, we need to keep going. We need to keep working at sharing our faith with those that are around us daily, the people that we run into, the people we may run into the store, when we go overseas and do a mission. We need to be ready, and we need to be sharing with those people. Before I have the group come up, I just want to share something. God's commission will be fulfilled, okay? There's no doubt that's going to happen. The thing I want to ask you is, there's a lot of people in today's churches that are standing by, they're observing, and they're watching all this happen. I don't want to be an observer. When I face the Lord someday, I don't want him to accuse me of saying, well, you did a good job, but you didn't do anything. You sat there and observed. We need to be active. God calls us to be active. He's given us something that's fantastic. It's life. What we have to share with people is life. It brings life, not death. You look at the people that we've shared with when we've gone overseas, the change that's occurred in them. Even the change I've seen that have occurred in Christians as they've gone on a trip and how life-changing that is. I can tell you that for myself 10 years ago. But God's commission is going to be fulfilled, and what we need to decide, are we going to be part of it or not be a part of it? And the good news is he's going to do it with or without us. And so I encourage us as a church, we need to be part of it. And I can tell you, and I think I can speak for most of the guys on our shepherding team, we believe that. We believe that 100% to the core of our beings, that we need to be participating as a church and individual. We need to be participating and sharing the great news of the gospel. There's a lot that I could go into in this passage. It's an exciting passage, and just doing some study and watching some videos that I've done, neat to see just the different thoughts that people have on the Great Commission. It's a powerful verse. It's why we do. It's why we are CBC. As Christians, it is our main purpose of being here on earth is to spread the good news. That's why God has us here. That's why he created us. I want to have the team come up that went last year with us to Columbia. There's six of us here. Actually, one is not Kim, who is Nolan's dad, is actually in Green River. He wasn't able to make it, but there was actually seven of us that went. And I've asked them each to kind of just share maybe just their story about something they remember, something that really stuck out to them, and then I'll kind of close at the end, but I'm going to let Ernie start. This is a great team, fun to serve with this group. We always have a great time when we go, and you know, some people you may know, you may not know, but when you come back from the weekend, you're family, and so I appreciate everyone here, appreciate their commitment to going this last year. So Ernie, why don't you start us off?
Brad told us when we got gathered that we only have a couple minutes, and I told him it's going to be very hard for me to only share in a couple minutes, but we'll get going here. As Brad said, this is the team from CBC. There were 27 of us that went on our trip from 8 different states, so God is working in a lot of people's hearts. As you see, we have all something in common up here today. We all have red shirts on, right? Okay, and on our shirts, these are the shirts that we wore as we went on our trip down there, and then we wore them individually during the week. So the shirt says, Divine Appointments, Armenia, Colombia, 2018. And then it says, Acts 18, 9, and 10. So I'm going to read that to you. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And to me, what was that? Oh, and no one is going to attack and harm you. But I should have put on my reading glasses. That tells you I'm getting a little bit old. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, for I have many people in this city. Oh, well, thank you. Put them on me now. There, how's that, huh? A little better? I chose this because, first of all, this is the shirts that we wore, and we are doing a divine appointments. I led a team of youth. God always challenges me every year that I've gone on these trips. I always work with almost nothing but exclusively either teenagers or very young adults. And I know why he does it. And so this last year we were working in Armenia, and it was on the third day. It was a hot afternoon, humid, which it always is in a lot of these countries down there. And we were rounding this corner on this street, and I could hear something. It sounded like somebody was yelling and screaming, and it was a male voice. And I'm looking around, and I couldn't see anything, so we went to these houses, and we were knocking on doors and talking to people. And as we got further down the street, I could hear this yelling and screaming again, and I'm like, what's going on? So I kind of went out in the middle of the street, walked down the streetways, and I seen this guy out there. He just had long hair, and it was tousled, you know, and he had a beard, and he was unshaven. His clothes were kind of worn, and he looked kind of like a John the Baptist, if you can imagine, kind of guy. And he had his old Bible in his hand, and it was beat up. And he was just reading scripture out of it. He was in John, and he was just to the top of his lungs, just proclaiming the Bible. And we went up to him, and I introduced myself, told him who we are, what we were doing here in that section in Armenia. And he just looked at me, and he had this wild-eyed, glazed-over look, and he started crying. And I just grabbed him, and I just prayed with him, prayed over him. And he said, God has told me this is what I must do. So each and every day I come out into the street, and I preach the Bible, and I just pray that people will listen to me. But I had a vision last night that God said I would bring help to you. And we showed up, and we were there, and we prayed, and I gave him some of the material that we had for what we're doing in that neighborhood, and he just said, thank you so very much. Thank you for listening to God and coming to help, for Colombia really needs these people. We need people like you to share your story. And so the day went on, and got back to the hotel, and I was like, wow, that was unbelievable. I've been in many missions trips, and I've never run into a street preacher like that. And he just laid it out, we needed to be there. So all of us have amazing stories to tell, and we could spend hours, days telling you, but we don't have enough time, so I'm going to pass the mic on to Tim.
Wow. One of the things that I've learned is God does not bless disobedience. We're all called. And he blesses us when we're obedient. But you may say, well, I'm not qualified. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. All you have to do is say yes. Every time I go on these trips, I'm scared. That's why I have to lean on God and let him do the work. I got the chance to do it with my daughter this year. Before we share that one, the first community we went to, it was, I would say, non-truth church. There's a local church down there. They control the people, but they've really not heard the gospel. The local pastor said, we need to reach this community. It's very closed. We prayed the power of God over that. Said, we need a person of peace that we can go to. We need a house that we can have worship in. And we need to reach a person of influence. We watched the power of God in less than 2 days. The farm that we went to for lunch, the family listened to the gospel. They all accepted Christ. And then they turned and told the local pastor, you can worship here. The next day, I was introduced to the justice of the peace, the local magistrate. We had a chance to sit down and talk with him and share the gospel. He wants to make a difference in his community, and I shared how Christ wants to make a difference in his life and those around him. He accepted Christ. All three things, despite who we are, because we said yes. Are you doing that here? Are you willing to say yes to God? And then I had the privilege of watching my daughter. The second community we went to, she had a God appointment. I'll let her explain that one. Who did you meet? A lady named who?
Ruby.
And you had a chance to sit down and share the gospel, right?
Yes.
What did she say?
That she was expecting it.
And she accepted Christ?
Yes.
The next day we were at another house. I was in talking, and Kaylee and her translator were there. I noticed a young boy out there. I said, Kaylee, go, go, go. So she went out. Who was this boy?
Ruby's son.
And what did he do?
He accepted Christ.
The day before, Ruby had prayed for her family. And God used Kaylee, even though she didn't feel equipped, to reach a family. How important is it for you to obey? It's eternity.
Well, my story starts on Thursday, and Thursday, everybody's kind of a little worn out, and the leader knows that, and so Jeff started out the devotional with a verse out of Mark 9, and it really hit all of us, first of all, because we're exhausted, but in that verse, it shares this guy, the father is speaking, and he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And we could really all relate to that. And I had been sick the day before, and I was really feeling that verse. It's like, Lord, I believe, I want to be out there, but do I have the energy to make it through the day? And I was just really praying for God to provide a lot of energy around me that so I could just kind of feed off of that energy. And sure enough, we went to a new church that day. It was a new church for me because I hadn't been there the day before, and just like God does, he provided this young, energetic, vibrant gal that knew the cube, that was ready to go out on the streets and share the gospel. And I could just be there and just encourage her. I didn't have to do too much except just be there and smile and say, wow, you are doing a great job. And we went to a house, and she said, oh, this house is my cousin's wife. I was like, oh, okay. And it was a young mom. It happened to be her birthday that day. She was turning 21, but she had two children. And she shared that she was a believer, but she had fled Venezuela 2 years ago and still had a lot of family there that she was concerned about. But yet she also shared about her support that she had locally. She had a lot of extended family locally that supported her and encouraged her, and I was like, God, what do you want me to say here? This gal is already a believer. She's fled the country. I have no idea what that feels like to flee your homeland and be displaced. But God just kind of gave me, very quickly, it was really interesting. God said, and I shared with her, I said, that's very interesting that you are from a very needy country, but yet it's high-end community. You have support. You have, your family is close by. So emotionally, she is very well. But I live in a community and a country that we have every opportunity just at our fingertips, and yet we are told to be independent and pull ourselves up and do it on our own. So we, as a country, tend to be very needy emotionally. We isolate ourselves, which leads to loneliness, which leads to depression, which leads to suicide. And so I just shared with her, you know, you might think I come from this great country and we have it all, and I can't relate with you about fleeing your country, but my country has a lot of needs as well. And we all need Jesus, no matter whether we're from a wealthy country or not. We really are missing out if we get through this life and haven't surrendered our lives to the Lord.
So I'm going to try to talk a little fast and get as much info out as I can, just because we have such a brief time. But let me just tell you, I've been on a number of different missions trips on a few different continents, and I have never seen the field so ripe for harvest. Just a people group that is so willing to hear the gospel. And I can't really, I'm always trying to deduce why that is. Hey, is it because they've been in oppression for decades with the narcos up in the hill country? Has it been probably their predominant religion, you know, just isn't doing it for them? You know, it presents a lot of broken families, a lot of broken situations. And we saw just wholesale what a godless society can do. And it's pretty devastating. But the beauty in that is that it left, I think, a lot of people with a willingness to listen to the gospel. And that's, you know, I'm always trying to be like, hey, did this person, you know, because if you hear about, wow, so many people came to know Jesus, you're kind of like, oh, is it because their culture just thinks, yeah, I'll just pray the prayer and, woo, you know. But, like, I've really sensed a genuine movement of the Holy Spirit just in people's lives, and just this, that light bulb, so many houses. And so we're sharing all week, and I had, you know, opportunities to pray with moms who their sons, they were devastated because their sons were hauled off to the army, almost, you know, conscripted. Hey, so selective service, their equivalent. If you don't do it, well, if you can't produce your card that you at least signed up and did your time, they'll throw you in the truck and you're going to go out and fight the narcos yourselves. So it's, man, they were just really worried. So we got to pray with some of those moms. Just so many opportunities. And it's such a weird culture of the modern meets the traditional, in the sense that you talk, every teenager you meet super spun up on pop culture way more than I am. And I'm just like, whoa, you know. So it's, and then you go two houses down and a guy's still shucking all his coffee by hand. And I mean, and it's just like crazy. So, but it was very interesting. One guy I got to share with, his name was Stanley. He was just this really buff, shirtless teddy bear of a guy. He was a construction worker that got laid off, and he's a little bit scary looking, but just super genuine. Just told you what he thought about stuff, and I had about 30 minutes to share with him. And he used to be a hippie, I guess, for a while, and so, you know, naturally, I think I just, when we talked about getting to heaven, he said, well, you know, kind of this, there's lots of ways, you know, just kind of pick a good one and do all right and you'll be okay. And so I had the opportunity to share with him John 14:6, and I said, well, you know, he had a respect for Jesus. I said, well, Jesus is pretty exclusive, you know, and we went through, you know, this all in Spanish, and he just, you know, and thankfully I had my translator and I'm picking up some, and just, we talked about, Jesus said, I am the only way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. And then we talked about how Jesus is exclusive, and that he was God's son, and that it was recorded he raised from the dead. It's like, he's not just a good guy. Like, he's the real deal. And so either, you know, and we kind of touched on some C.S. Lewis stuff, went a little off script, you know, because we had our Evangel Cube, but I just sensed I need to keep going a little deeper. And so we're just like, look, you can either, you probably just have to discard Jesus totally, because he was kind of crazy, and he said he was God's son sent to save everyone, right? or he was the real deal. He was crazy, or the writers lied about him and just made up a bunch of cool stories, or he's it. And if he is it, you got to believe everything he says, because it is true, because he has the authority to back it up and to take his life back up again when he rose from the dead. And so I think, and when we hit that part, he was just like, whoa. And it clicked for him, and he was like, wow. And so, you know, sometimes at that point, people are like, I got to do some soul searching, or I got to really think this through. But he was like, I'm on board. Like, Jesus is the way. And the beauty is the local church there, whenever we're out in a community, they said, hey, we're going to come with you. And we're going to snatch these people up if they accept Jesus, and we're going to make a church here, or we're going to tell them to come to our church. And so they're like, yeah. And so it was just really great to see the local church so invested. And that's one thing Jeff said, is he said, you know, I can't mobilize American teams fast enough. The church is going to grow whether Americans come or not, and God's working whether we come or not. But it's a joy and a privilege and a good shot in the arm with us coming. Just to boost the church there. So I was just so encouraged. And one other quick story, because my dad's not here. One time we drove around for like 20 minutes, and I could have swore we went to the same roundabout. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to like offend this bus driver, because I'm like, he knows the streets, because it's nuts. I would never be driving. But I'm like, I think he got lost, because we're just right back to where we started. And so I was almost going to like go say something. And then like moments later, my dad turns around and he's like, we got a new brother in the Lord. And I'm like, woo! And everybody's yelling, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, if I was, like, making a life-changing decision, avoiding motorcyclers and praying to receive Jesus, like, I should have some grace with the guy, you know? So we eventually got to where we're going. It just took us 20 minutes longer, but it was just incredible, just all that God was doing. And just nuts stories like that. So come talk to us afterwards.
Yeah. Mine I'll do real quick, because we got about a minute left before we need to show the video. Just to share a little in light, before we went on this trip, I personally was just having some health issues with some, they had put me on some blood pressure medicine, some stuff with stress, and I just was having a hard time really getting it all worked out. I wasn't feeling well, and I started thinking, wow, do I really want to be going to another country feeling the way I feel? And it came down to the last day, I told Jeff Thompson, I said, hey, I'm going to the doctor today. If he gives me the green light, I'm coming. If not, I may not be coming. And he talked and prayed with me. And so I went to the doctor. My doctor said, you have nothing to worry about. So I went. I just tell you that because it's going to lead into my story. My story deals with, on our third day, we came into our little barrio we were working. And when we came in, immediately to the right, I looked over and I saw some Jehovah's Witnesses that were standing ministering at the door. And I kind of gave them the eye, and they gave me the eye, and I kept walking, and I just walked by. Well, we got to our house we were going to share, and two of the gals that were with us from Texas, they looked back to me and said, you wanted to go poke the bear in the belly, didn't you? I said, no. I just want them to know we were serious. We were in this neighborhood, and God was in this neighborhood with us, and we made that connection, I guarantee you. So we took off from there, and we went up on this hill a couple blocks away where we were going to start sharing. And what we do each morning is we pray around the block that we were going to share with. Well, guess what? When we got up to the block and I looked down the street that we were going to go down the next day, guess who was three doors down? There were the Jehovah's Witnesses sharing already. We said, well, let's go ahead and pray. So we started walking down the street, and we're just prayer walking down the street. And as we walk by, I can see they're looking at us. They're wondering what's going on. And we go around, and Jeff all week had spoke about doing everything through Christ in faith, okay? Through Christ in faith, have the faith. Well, ye of little faith starts thinking on his own, and I stopped and I said, hey, we need to get ahead of them. And a couple people in my group looked at me like, no, we're going to continue to pray, and God will reveal to people truth when they hear truth. And I said, you know what? You're right. As soon as those words came out of my mouth, I knew that was the wrong thing to say. So we walked around the block, and we got back to the beginning. When we got back to the beginning, they had moved off to another street, didn't know where they'd went. I believed what I had heard, but I knew going to that first door, I was thinking, wait a minute, the Jehovah's Witness has just been here. Nobody's going to come to the door. And, you know, again, I just have to be honest. I knock at the first door. This gentleman named Henry comes to the door. he's excited, opens the door and walks in, and I'm going, wow, this is too good to be true. Walks in, we're sitting down, and one of the first things we were taught to ask is, we're here with the local church, and we just want to pray for your community, your family. What's something we can pray about? Those words no more than got out of my mouth, and that gentleman burst into tears. And he started to share with me the struggles that he was having with one of his daughters. And the fact that last night, he said, when I was praying out to God, crying out that I need help, I need to decide what to do. And God told him, I will send somebody to pray with you. And I realized just in that moment, I almost didn't go on this trip. Okay? Now, I know God would have worked. God knew all that. So you talk about ordained or divine appointments. God knew what he was going to do. He had lined that all up. The gentleman accepted the Lord, him and his wife. They fixed me a drink afterwards, just telling me thank you for coming. But, you know, things like that, time and time again, there was stories about how God had ordained divine appointments for this group. So I just want you to hear that, because you need to know God is working in Colombia. Ty, let's show the video from Jeff.
Good morning, Cheyenne Baran. I'm so happy to be able to just be a small part of your a Sunday where you're talking about the global calling that you have to reach the nations through this powerful local church of Cheyenne Baran. It's a privilege for Leslie and I to be in partnership with Cheyenne Baran Church to reach people and to plant churches and to make disciples in Colombia. Just so you know, God is pouring his spirit out in Colombia in this season. And there are churches being planted, there are disciples being made, and the whole strategy that's taking root all over Colombia is fueled and funded because of the short-term trips that we do with churches just like yours, full of people that are ordinary and average, who simply take seriously the calling that they have given to them by Jesus to go. And you can go. Every trip I've ever done has been full of people that were scared to death, did not feel adequate, and yet time after time, trip after trip, God uses people just like you to go into Colombia with a few biblical, simple, and reproducible tools that are empowered and infused with the Holy Spirit to bear fruit. So I just want to encourage you to prayerfully consider what God would have you do to join this partnership with E3 in Colombia. Cheyenne Baran invested so much in Leslie and I and our kids, and it's just a privilege and an honor to keep serving alongside of you to reach the nations, particularly the nation of Colombia. So I hope to see you in Colombia, and specifically Manizales, next July, and there's just much more work to be done because the harvest is very plentiful right now, but the workers are few, and I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to just ask you to prayerfully consider if God would have you come to Colombia in the coming year. Thank you, and God bless you. We love Cheyenne Baran. We're so excited about what God is doing in you and through you and around you. So God bless you guys.
So real quickly, next year, July 20th through 27th, that's Frontier Week. Sorry, but we're going to be gone. If you can join us, we'd love to have you join us. We will be going to Manizales, Colombia. The trip cost will be $2,900 a person. Don't let that worry you. We'll figure that out. And I just before we leave, want to share just some facts with you. The people that heard the gospel on the trip when we went this last time were 788, so the gospel was shared with 788 people. People that trusted Jesus as their Savior, 383. Follow-up visits were 29. That means we went back consecutive times to people to visit with them. Persons of peace, 34. These are people that we discovered in the community that are open to the gospel and can be used in reaching their communities. And then church workers mobilized were 51. So in closing, I just want to encourage you, if it's something God's calling in your heart, please consider going with us next year. Thank you.